Hare Krishna. My apologies not being able to send podcasts out over the last few days, but we've had no internet, and I've been able to use my telephone as a modem through my to connect onto the internet. So we've used backup versions, and I hope that those are satisfactory. I have some questions from Tejasri Devidasi in Romania, and particularly her first question relates to Kalki avatar. She wants to know what happens to the souls that Kalki avatar kills. Is the planet and universe annihilated at the end of Kali Yuga? Are the souls in Satya Yuga those who were present in Kali Yuga, and why does Kalki avatar kill them, and so on? Well, let's start with that last question. Kalki avatar kills the living entities because they become so submerged in the mode of ignorance that there is no way that they can avail of themselves in any way of the reason for being within this universe. I can't even say the human form of life, but they're almost hardly humans. But still, they can't take advantage of why they're here because they become so sinful. And therefore, the only way that they can become purified is by being killed by the Lord. So he kills them. By the touch of his sword, they become free from their past sinful activities. And then they appear either in Satya Yuga or later on in some other yuga, according to the desire of the Lord, although certainly by the power of the Lord's sword, they can certainly achieve all perfection. And then again, the cycle begins. The planet is not completely annihilated. Partial annihilation takes place, Suyuga Paryantam, at the end of each day of Brahma. It takes place, total annihilation at the end of lifetime of Brahma. At the end of each yuga, there's a replenishing and a change, refreshing that takes place, but it's of a different nature. And then living entities again continue on in the material world, but this time under much superior conditions, where they can actually continue their opportunity for elevation and make good use of both their human form of life and just of any form of life that they're here in this world to just progress forward. Her other question is, does the body have desire? Devotees have told me that the body has material desire and the soul has spiritual desire, but now I'm confused. No, the body doesn't have material desire. The body doesn't desire. The body may have begum, it may have urges or pushing, and I'll explain what that is, but it's not the body that has desire, but rather it's the soul that has desire, because the body is not conscious. It's the soul in the body that makes the body conscious, and therefore it appears that the body has a desire. But the soul has desire. Desire is the nature of the soul, and its desire is to enjoy. But when the soul misidentifies itself with matter, with the body, with this world, with the products of this world, with those things that associate with the body, then his material desires become material, in that they aspire to find happiness in material things, such as my body, my family, my home, this world. And I think that this material material pleasure will actually give me happiness, whereas it doesn't. So that's called material happiness, and the quest for happiness in material things is called material desire. by long association with the material body, and by material body being, practically speaking, second nature, the senses are used to a certain level of enjoyment, and therefore there's a pushing, there's an urge from the senses to satisfy them. But the original source of that, both the consciousness as well as the desire, comes from not the body, but it comes from the soul, and the body is simply, and the senses are simply a vehicle for the soul. And her last question is about Mahishtam. She says, I read about Mahishtam in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it says that because they don't get the opportunity to render service to the Lord, they again fall down. They can't be elevated further. Can you speak a little more about this? Brahma Samhita says, Golokanam Nijudami Talechatasya Devi Mahishu Haridam Ashuteshu Teshu, and so on. So the order of realms, graded realms as it's called, starts off with Golokadam, and then Vaikuntadam, and then Mahishdam, and then Devidam, where we're living in. This Mahishdam, the Shiva Loka, is in between the material and spiritual existence. Like Lord Shiva, it's a sort of a separate tattva. And it has different compartments. As far as I know, there's a Mahakalapur, or there's a Mahakala Loka, which is all darkness. There's a Shiva Loka, or a planet where Lord Shiva resides. Lord Shiva, who's a pure devotee of the Lord. Then beyond that, there's a realm of effulgence, Brahmajyoti, and beyond that, then there's Sadashiva Loka, who is actually a Vaikunthamurti, who is actually a form of Lord Narayan, who's the Supreme Lord. And these all really constitute the different areas or borders of Shiva Loka. Those living entities who worship Lord Shiva as a devotee of the Lord, they get to take birth where he is, and they get to get his association, and by his association as a devotee, they can be then promoted higher. Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes how in the Brahmajyoti, Lord Shiva travels sometimes and does Sankirtan, and by his Sankirtan, he then elevates living entities to a higher realm. Aside from these instances, the area of darkness or whatever other parts of Shiva Loka exist, and there are many worshippers of Lord Shiva, and they worship Lord Shiva in different ways. If they don't have the adhikar or the qualification to be instructed by him in devotional service, then abhiyakuchena paramparam tata, like the Mayavadis, they will again fall back down into this material world because they don't have shelter, yushmet angraya, because they don't have the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. To have the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet means to have the shelter of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. And without having the shelter of Vaishnava, you cannot go back home, back to Godhead. So, Vaishnavanam Jata Shambhu. This is a brief concept, a brief picture of Lord Shiva, who himself is also a very complicated tattva, because there are different forms of Lord Shiva, different rudras. There's the yogi Shiva. There's the Bhakta Shiva, there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead Shiva, Sada Shiva Loka. These are all forms of the Lord, and they are also achintya. They are also inconceivable. As Brahma Samhita again defines, describes this Shambhu, who is the cause of material creation as the reflection of the halo of the glance of Mahavishnu. So you can just meditate on that tattva. There's a glance, the glance has a halo, and the reflection of the halo. It's a very, very deep topic. So he is the consort of Maya, the material energy, who's the reflection of Ramadevi, or Lakshmi Devi, the associate of Mahavishnu. And in that way, he is called the father of the creation, she's called the mother of the creation. Living entities may attain his abode, but which is Kailash and has its corresponding ground here on this world in Mount Kailash. There, if they are fortunate to actually hear Lord Shiva speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhava Tattva, then that way they become elevated. Otherwise, if they are actual offenders at Shiva's lotus feet by denying the existence of the Lord and so on, then they simply merge into Brahmajyoti, and as mentioned already, they come back down. Hare Krishna.